Ah, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Tonight, as we come on the air, the school shooting. This time, authorities believe a middle school student with a gun. The shooter opening fire at a middle school in Idaho, two students and a custodian shot. Authorities just moments ago saying the suspect is a female student in the sixth grade. And tonight reports a teacher stepped in to get the gun. The witnesses, a sixth grade girl describing hiding in the corner of the classroom with her classmates, lights off, doors locked, describing the sounds of gunshots and screaming. Authorities holding a news conference moments ago, and we'll bring it to you. Also on this Thursday night, the coronavirus here in the U.S. and how they hope to reach Americans not yet vaccinated. Tonight, going door to door in some parts of the country, and another effort, vaccinating tourists who plan to visit Times Square. And the new data tonight on just how effective the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine are in children. The terrifying scene on a school bus, authorities say the Army trainee hijacking a school bus full of children with a rifle. Tonight, you'll see the surveillance holding that rifle to the bus driver's head. The battle raging within the Republican Party tonight. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis signing new voting restrictions into law, and how he did it follows former President Trump's playbook. Meanwhile, on the Hill, the move to push out Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership post. We have new reporting on that front tonight. The out-of-control Chinese rocket expected to crash back to Earth. The newest forecast tonight on when this should happen, and the Pentagon is asked if there are any plans to shoot it down in case it hits the U.S. And get ready, a certain kind of cicadas are about to re-emerge after 17 years underground across nearly 15 states from Indiana to Georgia to New York. And you've met so many of them right here, the heroes, and tonight the country celebrates them, America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night, and we begin tonight with yet another school shooting. Authorities revealing just moments ago that the shooter this time is a sixth grader, a female student who opened fire, they say, hitting two students and a custodian before they say a teacher was able to step in and get that gun. All of this playing out at a middle school in Rigby, Idaho, the call coming in after the school day started. Multiple agencies responding, the school put on lockdown. Students describing huddling in their classrooms in the dark, the doors locked. The students then evacuated to the nearby high school, waiting for their parents to come for them. And as we have seen all too often, the tearful reunions. Students describing the sound of gunshots and screams. Tonight, authorities saying just moments ago that all three who were shot have survived. And ABC's Kana Whitworth leads us off tonight with late reporting.
Tonight, authorities say a sixth grade female student is in custody after opening fire in this Idaho middle school.
Today we had the worst nightmare a school district could encounter.
Just after 9 a.m. this morning, multiple agencies rushing to the scene.
A sixth grade female student retrieved a handgun from her backpack. She fired multiple rounds inside of the school and out.
According to authorities, the suspect shooting three people inside Rigby Middle School, located less than 100 miles southwest of the famous Yellowstone National Park. Two students and a custodian sustaining non-life-threatening injuries.
Lucy, a sixth grader, describing the terror.
We heard one gunshot, and then right after we heard another, and all my friends and I were freaking out, and we were hiding in the corner of our classroom with the lights off and the doors locked.
The school's 1,500 students going under lockdown. Lucy saying that after about an hour, they were evacuated from their classroom in a single file line.
There was caution tape blocking the hallways, and there were policemen blocking the hallways too. And when one of the guys moved, I think I saw a little bit of blood on the ground. And I was helping my friends. We were all crying, and we were so scared.
The students then moved to a nearby high school, reuniting with their parents. The fear and relief etched on their faces as they embraced.
No one is in danger at this time.
And Kena Whitworth with us tonight. And Kena, I know authorities are crediting a hero, a teacher who stepped in. What more have we learned on that front? And any word on what drove this sixth grader to do this?
Well, David, authorities are saying that it was a female teacher that was able to disarm this student and hold her until help arrived. Now, all three gunshot victims were rushed to the hospital. The adult male was treated and released. The two juvenile victims remain there in fair condition. And, David, as for a motive, authorities are saying their investigation has just begun.
Kena Whitworth leading us off tonight. Kena, thank you with the unfolding investigation in Idaho tonight. But we do move on. And to the coronavirus here in the U.S., and to some welcome news tonight, new cases falling nationwide to the lowest level in 7 months. And now the new effort tonight to reach those who have not been vaccinated. In some cases, they're now going door to door. Tonight, the numbers, 147 million people have received at least one dose. That's 57% of adults now. Across the country, volunteers are reaching out to those who are still unvaccinated. These pictures from Framingham, Massachusetts tonight, knocking on doors, answering questions about the vaccine. Vaccine's part of the success story in California. Experts say they hope to reach herd immunity now by the middle of next month in that state. And here in New York City tonight, once the epicenter, of course, the mayor is now planning to offer free vaccinations to tourists in places like Times Square and New York Central Park. Tonight, we also have news on the vaccines and children. Moderna with new numbers on the effectiveness of its vaccine in children 12 to 17 years old. And we now know that next Wednesday, a CDC panel will review Pfizer's vaccine for teenagers 12 to 15, I should say. Here's ABC's Whit Johnson tonight.
Tonight, a new army of foot soldiers in the war on COVID.
This is a campaign. This is a campaign, and we have two candidates. Our candidate is the vaccine for life and COVID for death.
Across the country, workers going door to door, encouraging Americans to get the shot.
We are just getting information out about the vaccine.
A new poll shows just 9% of unvaccinated Americans say they intend to get the shot as soon as possible. And with the next chapter almost here, vaccinating children, Moderna today reporting its vaccine is 96% effective in 12 to 17-year-olds.
The goal would be to make sure that the vaccine is available for vaccinating adolescents over the course of the summer and at least before the coming school year.
And any day, the FDA is expected to greenlight the Pfizer vaccine for adolescents after the company reported it was 100% effective in kids 12 to 15 with no serious side effects. All four kids in the Dropic family volunteered for the Pfizer trials through Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Don't be worried. Don't be scared. The people here know what they're doing.
Tonight, COVID cases hitting their lowest levels in 7 months. Experts at UCSF projecting that California is on track to reach herd immunity by June 15th.
We never wanted to get to herd immunity with a combination of natural infection and vaccination, but that's what California went through.
New York City now planning to roll out mobile vaccination sites, offering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for visiting tourists in places like Times Square and Central Park.
Come here. It's safe. It's a great place to be. And we're going to take care of you.
Tonight, with easing restrictions and Broadway tickets going on sale for fall shows, the city increasingly poised for a comeback.
Is there this feeling, though, that New York is coming back?
Yes. Yes. It's going to be a terrific summer. It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. And soon, Whit Johnson joins us now from Times Square tonight. And Whit, there are new studies also out showing that there's more evidence now of the effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine against concerning variants.
David, these are two new real-world studies, and they show the Pfizer vaccine is highly effective against those concerning variants from the UK and South Africa, especially when it comes to preventing severe outcomes like pneumonia and even death. David.
All right, Whit Johnson from Times Square tonight. Whit, thank you. We turn next year this evening to the terrifying moments on board a packed school bus in South Carolina today. Authorities say an Army trainee with a rifle hijacked the bus with 18 elementary school children on board. Surveillance showing him holding that rifle to the bus driver's head. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami tonight.
Authorities in South Carolina tonight are sharing this security video from the bus full of kids that was on its way this morning to an elementary school in Columbia. As the students were getting in, a trainee from the nearby Army base shoved his way on with an Army-issued rifle. Police are identifying him as 23-year-old Jovan Collazo and say he was trying to leave the military
and wanted the bus driver to get him to the next town so he could get home to New Jersey.
These kids and the bus driver were very traumatized and feared their life.
There were 18 kids on the bus, and police are praising the driver who kept his cool. The sheriff says that after several minutes, the 23-year-old stopped the bus and let the driver and kids get off.
And then he continued to drive the bus for a short distance where he abandoned the bus and took off on foot.
He was arrested and is charged tonight with 19 counts of kidnapping, armed robbery, carjacking, and more. At the Post, his commander is apologizing tonight to the school's families, explaining that Collazo was just 3 weeks into his training.
Understanding that 3 weeks in, we do experience several soldiers that over the course of their initial stages just have that desire, that anxiety, and due to separation from their families to get home. And we think that was truly his intent and nothing beyond that.
And Steve Olson saw me with us tonight. And Steve, I know the bus driver being praised for his calm and safe handling of what was clearly a terrifying situation. The driver didn't know at the time, but the suspect's weapon had no ammunition.
That's right, David. That's coming from the Post commander, who says the gun had no ammunition because they don't give bullets to trainees who are only 3 weeks in. But the commander also acknowledges that no one on the bus knew that. David?
All right, Steve Olson saw me with us tonight. Thank you, Steve. To the major political headlines tonight in the battle within the Republican Party, shaped by who is standing with former President Trump and his false claims about the presidential election. Also tonight, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing a new voting bill in that state that limits drop boxes and mail-in balloting, among other things. And he followed the former president's playbook with how he unveiled this today. And on Capitol Hill tonight, the move to push out Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her leadership post. New York State Congresswoman Elise Stefanik campaigning to replace her and standing by the former president's election claims. Here's our chief Washington correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight.
It's Donald Trump's party. Just witness Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis today signing into law new voting restrictions inspired by Trump's lies about the election. He did it before a Trump fan club called Club 45, live on Trump's favorite television show, Fox and Friends. All other news organizations banned.
I'm actually going to sign it right here. It's going to take effect. So
there you go.
Bill is signed.
After signing the bill, DeSantis signed Trump hats and a Trump flag. Republicans in Congress are moving to oust Trump critic Liz Cheney as the number three Republican in House leadership. Her Trump-endorsed replacement, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, has promoted lies about the election.
I'm proud to stand up for President Trump.
Today she appeared on a podcast hosted by Steve Bannon, the Trump loyalist who was pardoned by Trump after being indicted for allegedly defrauding Trump supporters.
My vision is to run with support from the president and his coalition of voters, which was the highest number of votes ever won by a Republican nominee in 2020.
Sources close to Cheney say she knows she's likely to lose her leadership post, but she sees the stakes as much higher than that. She wrote in the Washington Post, quote, Republicans must decide whether we are going to choose truth and fidelity to the Constitution, adding, there is good reason to believe Trump's language can provoke violence again.
All right, so let's get right back up to John Carl on the Hill tonight. And John, what's so interesting about all this is Congresswoman Liz Cheney voted for the Trump agenda 93% of the time, far more than Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. So it would seem this is a lot less about Republican policy and more about who's still standing with the former president and his claims.
It sure looks that way, David. Nobody truly doubts that Liz Cheney is a conservative, whereas Elise Stefanik didn't even vote for the Trump tax cut, which was really the signature legislative achievement of the Trump presidency. But Stefanik did support those efforts on January 6th to overturn the presidential election. And even today, she was talking in that interview with Steve Bannon, quote, about the need to fix election security issues. So that is clearly the place that she is with the president, whereas Liz Cheney was very much with the former president in terms of his policy agenda.
All right. John Carl, our chief Washington correspondent. Thank you, John. New developments tonight in the disappearance of that Colorado mom, Suzanne Morphew, who went missing last Mother's Day. At the time, you'll remember we reported her husband made an emotional plea for her return. Tonight, he is now under arrest, facing charges in her murder. And here's ABC's Stephanie Ramos tonight.
Nearly a year to the day after he made this tearful plea for his wife Suzanne's safe return.
I will do whatever it takes to get you back, honey. I love you.
Authorities arresting Barry Morphew Wednesday, charging him with her murder.
We believe that she's not alive.
A judge today in Colorado ordering him to be held without bail, but allowing him visits with his two daughters. It was May 10th, Mother's Day last year, and Barry was reportedly away on business when the 49-year-old mother of two went for a bike ride and never returned.
The majority of people thought that he did it from the beginning.
The only signs of her, her bike and helmet, and a personal item that police will not describe.
We do have information that led us to this point today and how we think a certain scenario had occurred.
Volunteers and investigators, including the FBI, scouring the area. Authorities interviewing more than 400 people.
There's still a lot of questions of what happened to her. Where is she? Why? Why would you do this to someone that you've been with for so many years?
Suzanne's body has never been found. Her sister telling ABC News she forgives her brother-in-law and is praying for him. Barry Morphew is due back in court May 27th. David.
Stephanie Ramos tonight. Steph, thank you. Overseas tonight, Secretary of State Antony Blinken visiting Ukraine in a strong show of support amid that country's continuing tensions with Russia. Blinken telling President Volodymyr Zelensky that the U.S. is committed to Ukraine's sovereignty and independence. Zelensky making a case for U.S. military aid and for membership in NATO. Russia has been conducting military exercises along the Ukrainian border and nearby in the Black Sea. When we come back here tonight, the images coming in. Police on the scene right now, the hostage standoff inside a bank. And more on that out-of-control rocket expected to crash back to Earth and the newest forecast tonight when this should happen.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
There is a tense scene unfolding tonight in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Police responding to a bank robbery and hostage situation. Calls coming in this afternoon of a robbery in progress at a Wells Fargo bank. No word on how many suspects or hostages involved. The FBI now assisting. No injuries reported at this time. And there is also news tonight after the stabbing of two Asian women in San Francisco. The suspect, Patrick Thompson, is now charged with attempted murder and two counts of inflicting injury. He allegedly attacked the women at a bus stop, both victims being treated for their injuries. Authorities still deciding whether to label this a hate crime. More tonight here on that out-of-control Chinese rocket. The 23-ton rocket expected to crash into Earth this weekend. Concern about large chunks possibly hitting land, including the U.S. The Aerospace Corporation predicting re-entry at about 11:43 p.m. Eastern Saturday. The Pentagon saying they will not shoot it down. Get ready for the cicadas. After 17 years underground, billions of the brood 10 cicadas will emerge in just days. About 15 states from Indiana to Georgia to New York. They're usually around for about 6 weeks. Finally tonight here, it is National Nurses Day. And I'm sure you know that right here on this broadcast, we celebrate them as often as we can. America Strong. We have honored the men and women caring for so many during this pandemic, the nurses on the front lines from the start. And tonight, a nation celebrates them, from Texas to New York.
Thank you.
To California. The cheers for nurses who haven't stopped. We reported on the nurses at Catholic Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire, caring for Renee Johnson, a father who was fighting the virus. His family could not enter the hospital, so they would stand outside waving, communicating with his nurses through signs. The nurses holding signs back. We will make sure he's comfortable and in no pain. We will tell him you love him. We will hold his hand. The Johnsons writing back, thank you, nurses. A week and a half into their father's fight, the difficult message, he is at peace. We are so sorry. The family heartbroken, but they told us grateful that they gained another family in the process.
Love you guys. Love you.
Making hearts with their hands, the Johnson family has continued to come back to that window for months.
David, we're outside showing our love and support for all the ICU staff that showed compassion and concern for our family in a time of need when we could not be with our dad. Guys, show some love.
Tonight, the hospital telling us the Johnsons come back often, again, just today.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
And tonight, nurses Lynn Harkins and Caitlin Kerrigan, grateful for those visits.
The Johnsons gave us hope in a time where we had maybe thought there was little hope. And just seeing them come to the window to know that someone out there believes in us and that the work that we do is important in here, that it means a lot.
Where would we be without the nurses, our frontline workers? I'll see you right here tomorrow.